Hello and welcome to the Beginner's Handbook. I'm Jordan.
I'm Jamie.
And in this episode, we're just going to cover a bit of things. We've covered some of this in other episodes, but we wanted to just bring it into one episode, and that's tools for warning players in your games. What's that?
Are we? Thanks for the heads up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We don't get any warning. You got your X card there. So it's basically just some of the tools. I mentioned one of them just now that you might want to use at your tables. We'll talk a wee bit about what they are if you don't know what they are. If we use them, or have we played a game that did use them? Just a few things that you might find useful if you're new to running games, for example, especially maybe things of in a different genre that you don't tend to play. If it's something crime-themed or horror-themed and it's new to your players, some of this stuff's going to be great.
Yeah, and some of it you might be sitting there and going, well, that's just common sense. Why wouldn't you do that? But sometimes, you know... The problem with common sense going down that route is that sometimes it's not that common. So, you know, there might be the odd thing that seems really obvious, but it'd be interesting to see how many people thought of some of the kind of simpler ones.
Yeah, so I think with that then we'll start with just a couple of the questions that we normally ask you. So for players or GMs, is there any games that or maybe themes or topics that you don't like to play in? So whether you're running that for people or you're playing that in somebody else's game, maybe they've got trigger warnings or something that give you a heads up of what you're about to play. Is there specific themes that you don't like to play in your games? And on the flip side of that, are there games that you like to run or play in that you do actually like some of the... what things do you look for in your games? Because not everybody likes the same thing. A lot of the guys that I'll play with don't like... they don't like big horror games, but they like... horror in other games. Like, I think sometimes horror is best done when it's not in a horror movie, for example. Sometimes they bring in scary elements in fun movies, and usually it's got a good kind of juxtaposition. I hope that's the right use of the word. I only read that today again. It's been a while since I used it. So, but is that a theme that you look for? Is it not? Whatever. So we're just curious to hear what you guys actually play or run.
Yeah, and as well, like, you... as a GM, if you know that you're going to do something that's sensitive, just for picking that word out of the dictionary, rather than juxtaposition, because I'm not that fancy.
Sorry, I think I used it wrong. You're good.
Yeah, so how do you actually let players know beforehand that there's going to be, whether it's content, a particular scene, theme, whatever, that's sensitive that your players maybe should have a heads up for? So how do you let them know? Do you let them know?
Red flag.
Would be interesting as
red
well.
Red flag.
That's a red flag. That's next card.
I don't care. But yeah, basically everything Jamie's just said there, because I mean, the thing is, like, a lot of games I'll play don't... like, a lot of players I've got, we've played a lot, and we'll talk about this in a minute, but we don't feel the need to use a lot of these tools. A lot of the stuff I'll speak about today, and me and Jamie will speak about today, is stuff actually I don't tend to use a lot of this. Well, it depends what's actually on my list. I need to check. I've not really checked the whole list yet, but certainly there are some of them that I don't use, and I just don't, neither myself or anyone that we play with actually feels the need to use them. We're all good pals, but it's still good to have it in your kind of arsenal of, you know, tools for your tool belt. So all right then, I think then the first main question is, some people who are maybe brand new to role-playing games, and they might just be thinking of high fantasy D&D, people jumping around and dancing and singing and shooting baddies with magic missile and just disappearing and getting away with money and loot and being heroes. That's all nice, but some people might not realize that there's also a lot of really brutal games out there that is the opposite. It's usually you that's getting slayed and not the other way about. So they might not know. Well, the big question, I suppose, is why would you even warn your players? So I think really the main thing for me is the themes, I would say. Probably the themes, I mean, the common ones would be if you're doing something quite violent or anything a bit risky. You know, if it's like a Vampire the Masquerade, there's an innate bit, especially with vampires, a bit kind of set, everything's a bit sexy. So that often might come up in games of vampire. So things like that.
Taking and entering.
B&E, yeah, a lot of that. There's some really good vampire stuff and how they feed. There's even things in Vampire about how they feed and how it's a bit more malicious. You follow them, you stalk them and all that. It's like, how do you stalk your prey? It's been a while since I looked at the book. But anyway, it's pretty, it's a cool way to build your character in your head, but when you actually come back, you go, oh, this kind of is a bit, it's a bit grim, you know? So, but anyway, the themes might be something that you might want to, especially if you've got really nasty themes of a game, if you're doing a theme-based game, maybe it's about loss, the game, then, you know, that might be something that clearly could, it could kind of pull in the wrong heartstrings if somebody, you know what I'm talking about.
The gerbil died.
Yeah, exactly. The loss. I mean, if you had, yeah, let's not go into that. But yeah, and the other thing would be, I would say, well, is actually, I suppose the specific content, I started bringing in like that thing about vampires and stalking and violence and stuff in games, but I suppose that's actually as well, that can be the actual content of the game. It's not just a theme, but actually the stuff that players are seeing, interacting with, maybe even doing themselves or having inflicted upon them. That stuff, anything I would say that, I would basically say if it's anything that you wouldn't be happy saying in public, then I probably, it's worth just being careful just before you start putting loads of detail into it.
Yeah,
yeah. I think I probably covers everything else, but have you got anything to add to that?
Yeah, pretty much. And as well, kind of touching on a wee bit of what I was saying earlier on, that some of the kind of tools, you might be sitting there and going, well, that's really obvious. What's the point in even mentioning that? Just when you mentioned about Vampire Game, like me, like sitting here just now, it was only as you started going through that and kind of the detail of it that I kind of, like, the light bulb went on. I went, oh, yeah, right enough. There is that kind of creepy stalking you thing that is in like 99% of vampire films, books, whatever. So playing a game like that in my head, that wasn't there. It was just kind of, you know, turn into a bat and flap about the place and stuff. You know, that's where I was going with it. But it's only when you mentioned that I went, ah, right enough. Yeah, yeah, it's not just the bitey bit. It's the kind of...
Well, the bitey bit is good too. How you feed is also a feature. Everybody that's played it knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but basically, if I was turning up to a game like that,
I might have been caught out. Yeah,
and that's... That as well, that's with us. We've talked about this before. If you've not seen the episode on sensitive subjects that we've got,
it's live now and it's definitely live. Sometimes we don't know which ones are live or not.
Yeah,
but...
and even one of our first episodes that was out, which was romance, like that. Although that,
come back to that.
Yeah. So although that's not necessarily a sensitive subject in the sense that, you know, my character's married to so-and-so's character and there's two people that are married in real life that are at the table and blah, blah, blah. So there's a lot of stuff there that's okay, like PC, fair enough. But to then have that acted out in front of you is then when it flips and becomes something different. So again, you might not be expecting that kind of thing and then just, there it is.
Surprise. Mm. But yeah, so that's basically, I would say, it's really the themes and then the actual content that a player might experience in a game. Because some games go hardcore, man. And I mean, I've got players now and they keep saying to me, you keep saying you've got these games, or they've seen them on a shelf and they go, I want to play that one. This one's about literally body fluids and that's it. Like, that's the whole game. It's wild.
Do you want to elaborate on that, or are you just
going to... No, I don't, because I don't know what will get flagged. But it's an awesome Morkborg game, and it's so, so good. But the guys, they're wanting, but they're saying to me they're desperate to try some of the really crazy games that I've got. And that's cool, because I know that they're okay with it, and I've spoke to them about what might be in it. You know, and they're fine. I mean, I say speak to them, I've literally just said, by the way, do you know there's X, Y, and Z in it? And they went, yeah, cool, that's fine. I just ran a game about evil bikers in a Call of Cthulhu game. It's done, I guess, I can't remember the guy's name. I think it's Kevin something. Anyway, it's a Grindhouse collection. Just got volume 4. It's got evil bikers in it and stuff. And that game was wild fun. But I just checked with people because there is a few things in there. You know, in the game itself mentions it, you know, talking about World War II type stuff and, you know, just to be sensitive about it. And they were down for it. So I think the content and the, anyway, the content and the actual themes are stuff I would just flag up. Now, some players, there's people I think I've spoke about this in the Sensitive Subjects episode, but there's people I know that would go to local comic shops and they would be saying stuff in public, you know, and it's kind of like, there is kids around here, guys, you know, and I think we're playing like vampire-esque games, but a lot of kind of sexy stuff in it, and they're being pretty explicit. Nothing that bothers me, but I'm also conscious that there's people around that might be bothered by it, including kids who are sitting about, or maybe more accurately, their parents who will be mad that their kids are hearing some of the stuff that was going on. So I would just say, just be sensible. Have a think. If you're okay with it, that's fine, but try and think about if other people would be think it's weird for me to say this in public. If the answer is yes, it's probably worth just thinking about what you've got. Yeah, that's really it. So, have you got any thoughts on the tools or any tools that maybe we use currently, if any? I already know the answer to this one. But just to maybe talk about our games a wee bit, just how it's come up in the past for us.
So, obviously, I'll not talk about games that you run and things that, you know, I'm not actually part of. I don't want to kind of...
Uninvited.
Yeah, basically that's what I was driving at with that. I'm still quite hurt about that. But anyway, so that's why we ended
it's
up
a therapy
with DVD.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It's something else you can watch if you have not seen it. Yeah. But yeah. So in our group that we are both in, we don't use anything at all that is a tool as such.
Mm.
The reason for that is that the group that we're in, we've known each other for a really, really long time. So, you know, we've all been friends previous to doing different RPGs and things. So we all know each other well. So on top of that, you've also got the fact that as well as knowing each other well, everybody is pretty switched on. Nobody is like in conversations with each other, nobody comes away with anything bonkers, for want of a better way of describing it. Nobody comes away with anything that's garish, outlandish, you know, whatever. It's all so totally fine, totally normal. Everybody knows where everybody's boundaries are and how comfortable everybody is. So then when that turns into different games, that all of a sudden doesn't get thrown out the window with us. Everybody goes, right, I understand that, you know, at the end of the day, I'm still me. I've not became this character. So whatever the character says, it needs to be still within the realms of what everybody's comfortable with. Mm-hmm. Nobody hides behind the feeble excuse of, but the character did it, not me.
You know, just to add to that as well, and see if that was going to happen, we just won't play those guys. You know, there's no reason. Let's say there was a character that was like super racist, you know, we're not sure. Like, this happens a lot with Call of Cthulhu games where they'll give you warnings.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's
because it's
the 20s
and all that. Yeah. And I'm kind of like, why did you stop doing stuff in the 20s? But anyway, so.
Yeah, doing the 60s instead. Oh, no, wait.
Oh, I know. But yeah, with our stuff, it's like. I mean, really, the worst offence that our group's ever had is playing, like, belligerent characters, like, winding each other up and stuff. That's it. There's nothing that's been genuinely offensive, because what's the point? But you were saying, no, with...
Yeah, so, again, because of that, like, the worst you'll get is somebody winding you up through, you know, try to kind of, you know... trip you up when you're doing things or whatever, but that's just a bit of fun, a bit of mischief. You know, there's nothing that ever crosses a line, and that's why we don't need the tools, because we know each other so well. And sorry, the bit that I forgot is before every game that we get, 9 times out of 10 we will get essentially a sales pitch for the game, and then everybody at that point then goes yeah, okay, or no, or, you know, and that's how we kind of work through what we're going to do and what we're going to play. So our safety nets, if you like, are long time knowing each other. And then from that, you've got boundaries are well clear and known. You've also got everybody's sensible. Nobody is, you know, malicious. Nobody, like the personality as well as the fact that when you turn up to games or whatever, nobody's ever kind of pitched you one thing and then just threw you a curveball and hit you with something that's completely different from what you get sold. So everybody's honest, reliable at that point. And you also get, again, the sales pitch. So you can have a rough, either depending on how it's done, sometimes we talk about it beforehand, sometimes you'll get a text through or whatever. And occasionally as well, we've even had PDFs and things as well through with lots of detail. Don't think we've had one of them for a wee while.
The title and what the game system is. I'm sure that sounds good. Simple Man.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I skim it as well. But, you know, so it varies in what we get, but that's what it boils down to. Long-standing relationships, trust, and the final thing that we get is a little sales pitch in whatever form. So you could argue that the little sales pitch at the start is a tool. I don't know if I'd 100% agree with
that. I maybe come to that, because I think that's something I maybe put down. I made a wee note of something, and you could double up that a sales pitch up with something like that. So I'll come back to that one.
Yeah. But so that's our like crossover group, our main group.
Yeah.
But with your other, I'll call them fringe groups, I'll promote myself. With your other fringe groups, with these hangers on that you have.
They'll probably say the same thing about you guys, even though I've known you guys. I think we've actually hung out for like 15 years or so, but we've known each other longer, but we didn't really hang out until that kind of last couple of years, I would say.
And there's family stuff with us as well. Aye. And things. Anyway, long, complex, small town stuff. Even though we don't actually live in a small town, it's a pretty decent sized town. Yeah. But with your other groups, how does that vary with ours?
It's usually, I don't know. Usually, I like to just chuck them out. The thing is, we're all crazy.
Yeah, well, because the thing as well with Jordan is, depending on how long you've been listening and things, he has done games with random people in comic shops and, like, I was going to say conferences, but not conferences.
The conventions.
Conventions, yeah, that's the word. So, conventions. So, again, two kind of totally different things, quite varied there. You've got other groups with, again, people that you've known for a while, but you've also got the people you've known for a while that have brought other people in. So
yeah, and I might not always know these other people.
Yeah, so you've got a varied kind of amount. Sorry, not amount. You've got a varied like situations, and every group that you've got is, to me, different enough from another group. So that's kind of.
I think I'll probably just sum it. I mean, I tend to, and I'll come into this a bit more later on, I don't really give people a lot of sales. Even our games, I don't tend to give sales pitch. Like, I think the Warhammer one was just, you're pretty much amnesiac, so go and make a guy that's in the Imperium. And that was it. I don't think I gave you as much, and probably the same for Alien, other than just, you're doing this. But I made a cool video, so I made up for it with that. Or a couple, and I forgot to play one of them. It took me like 3 hours to make the two of them, and I only used one. I was like,
Yeah, I think that's probably the most effort we've had in a game.
I come from a techie kind of creative industry background originally, so that's why. But with the other guys, so I mean, things I know a lot of the groups I play with, I'll maybe start with them. I know them. I know what they like. I do like to try and push a wee bit to see how far people will go, but I usually do that in the form of like decisions, see how crazy they'll do it. Recently I did a Cthulhu game, somebody was invited to I've met him once, which I forgot, it's been like 2 or 3 years or something since I'd seen him, and this guy was a psycho in the game. He played a psycho, and once he got comfortable he was just like killing people, and it was like vicious, and I was like, whoa. And it was meant to be a scary game, so it made sense in the context of things, but I could figure out just from doing, just kind of keeping it high level, but sometimes dipping into where I needed to for that moment, either the scene or the area that the person was in. I tend to keep things kind of higher level in terms of the detail and let people fill it in or do it myself. But I know everybody, so I don't need to bother with all these tools. But with the newer people, generally, if I'm doing it, I don't do a lot of them, but certainly the comic shop, I would usually just tell people, like, what's in the game. Like, I ran that Bikers game from the Grindhouse collection, and I said, by the way, it does feature, like, Holocaust-themed stuff. All of these games are intense, so like they're usually all super violent, you know. So, and I just give a quick rundown, but I know like even those guys, that I don't know, it's just a quick thing like that's all I need to do, because you can tell at the table who's engaging, and if people get a wee bit kind of uncomfortable, you'll see it at the table. You can just pull away, like I don't tend to by default have like gory details like straight away. It's not like if it's vampire and there's some kind of creepily sexual scene, like maybe the vampire feeds on people, but it has to be during simulated sex, which is one of the things in it. You know, I'm not going to go straight into all the detail. You know, you can talk around that without diving too deep. So usually I just give people a hit. So actually all the groups, even the people I don't tend to know or know that well, sorry. Usually just give a wee bit of a heads up, that's all I need, and then in the game I can suss out how far people will go, because usually if people turn around and they come back with some absolutely barbaric suggestions, then you kind of know at least what their threshold is from that. But I suppose the risk with that style is there might be new people at the table who you don't really know, and they might not be comfortable, one player might be and they might not be the other. But it's never been a problem so far, and certainly when it has got some of those examples where new people, like multiple new people have been there, I've told people just to make sure, like usually at the start I'll say, it's fun, it's going to be scary, it's going to be violence in it, but let's just, we won't dive too much into that. You know, I kind of do that up front, especially if there's more than one new person, because you never know, you don't want to upset anybody, you're there for fun, you know. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah,
very much. Here we go. That's it. So I think then with that, we'll just jump onto a couple of the tools that maybe you'll find useful yourself. We'll just start with maybe these first two then, because we've just mentioned them.
Yeah.
Mine's is really just a heads up at the table. That doesn't sound that complicated, but honestly, you'd be kind of shocked. I mean, even the games I've been in, I'm not really bothered by any type of content or theme. But there's stuff people come away with that have been running games that I was quite surprised they were doing, considering they didn't know any of us at the table. Although I knew some of the players, but they might not have. This happened at the comic shop. And I'm kind of thinking, I know they don't like that. So, you know, I'm kind of like, and as a player, maybe because I've run a lot of games, I can direct it away or divert into a new thing as a player. But certainly the heads up at the start is something that I do a lot. So that's a discussion on the topics and the theme before the game starts. That's pretty much it. And in the case of the sales pitch that you were talking about that our guys use, I think we could probably quite easily back that up with like just a couple of warnings, just to say what's going to be the content. The Grindhouse collection, all of them say explicit content, like an old VHS videotape, but at the start of all the games it has like the two or three main, if you want to call it, triggers, like what's in it. So one might be, you know, needles, and one might be claustrophobia, you know, and they'll have that start. So that's something that if you wanted something kind of more less about needing to sit and have this kind of more formal conversation, but you give out little notes about what game you're wanting to, like, here's a choice of games, pick one. You could just have at the bottom which ones those are. I think that's how you can maybe combine, because the sales pitch thing, it does work. Like, it helps us get involved, even if we just skim it. It helps us give an idea of what's getting played, but the wee notes might be useful if you're doing it for new, sort of, not notes, the wee kind of trigger bullets might be quite useful if you're running for completely new people.
And again, like Jordan's saying, you don't need a full-on, you know, PowerPoint presentation with what's about to happen or whatever. But again, just a couple of bullets is going to have this, you know, fine, fair enough. Again, text, couple of things in it, fine, fair enough. In conversation, doesn't need to be more than a 2-minute conversation, you know, it doesn't need to be anything grand, but I would assume that for most people out there, they don't turn up to their table and the first time that they find out what they're playing is there on the night, from you know, the person that's running the game, and that, you know, they take it from there. I would assume that most people get some form of heads up. So if you're giving people a heads up and you're discussing what it is that you're wanting to play anyway, then, you know, slip in
easy
what's yeah. going on there. It's happening anyway. May as well use the time effectively.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, this doesn't, maybe it sounds stupid even going over some of this, but I think it's important to know, because some people do, like what I often do as well, especially if I've done kind of a more hardcore game, I've got some really bad ones there, and I cannot wait to do it with the guys. But while I know people are super wanting to do it, like they won't stop asking me about it, what I do sometimes, though, especially if there has been a game that's been particularly grim, mm-hmm. for whatever reason that might be, I still maybe check in after the game as well. People might seem alright, but I usually maybe don't go as far as individually all the time, but I have done maybe with some things, and I've asked, like, how was that? I hope it wasn't too much, like, just because it helped me just recalibrate in case I've maybe went too far. Never had a case where somebody has said, yes, you have, and people might argue, well, they wouldn't tell you that. But while that might be true, someone would have told me that in the group if that was something that's ever happened. But then again, I've never got to a point where I felt like I've had to do that. I still might do it. That last game I had to Holocaust stuff in it, and I went, was that all right? Because it's sensitive material, and you know, yeah, there's a lot of kind of racism. Well, I think there's suggested racism in that game. I can't remember. And I just checked to make sure people were okay with it. Nobody's chucking about slurs or anything ridiculous like that, you know. But it's still want to check, because it's kind of it's dangerous territory.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do that after the game.
Yeah, and again, kind of touching on what we said earlier, you could get somebody going, oh, but the character said it, not me. Well, at the end of the day, you're there and you said it at the table, and this character you're talking about, nobody can see them, so you said it.
Yeah, I think it's like some people, I've never had this, but some people do get like super immersed, and I know there's at least one person I've met who they really, if you go into their game, they want you to do voices. You've got to really encapsulate that character, and fair enough, but they want an immersive, so they use all the kind of the language of the time, like the kind of, if it's the 20s, it's all the kind of 20s talk, that kind of, what's that called, there's a word for that. But I wouldn't be surprised if they said some pretty bad stuff in those games, but that's not a game that I'm interested in. One, it's too much. Like, I'm not interested in hearing the bad stuff, but I'm also not super interested in needing to be that committed to characters that I probably have killed in a couple of hours. If people have games like that, or you're involved in a group that's like full immersion only, fair enough. But I think in that case, you've got to be super careful about what, you need to be very clear with people up front. I'm not going to judge people that go super immersive. It's just not my thing. Just the same way that LARPing's not my thing, but people love it. Go ahead, have fun. It's just not my thing. And I would say the same about immersive games. So that actually ties on nicely, because I've talked about these before, and I absolutely bloody love them. And that is Session Zeros. You can give people their warnings before the game, but your Session Zero making guys up can actually really help inform the themes of that game, the environment, particularly. Every Mork board game I've done, which is a handful now, at least if it's with new people, I'm doing session. I'm bringing pre-gens, but I'm also giving people the option to make characters. And that game is so grim and brutal that character creation, it's very much a book that a picture says 1,000 words, because I don't even think there is 1,000 words in that book, but it's full of amazing art, and it just it's dripping with atmosphere. And the character creation helps cover that too. It really gives you a feeling for the environment. It makes you feel dirty and useless and probably going to die. And that really helps inform people going into the game. I'll still give people a heads up that it's probably going to be a meat grinder, because you get 2 HP, and if you take 3 points of damage, you're dead. Like, you don't save, you just die. But that's where a Session Zero can actually be super useful, especially if you're doing something different from what your group normally does. Like I mentioned, let's say you normally do D&D but want to delve into a horror game, probably the best course is to put a bit of horror in a D&D game, put the theme in there in a game you're used to see how they play with it. But if you're doing a hard dive into a new theme that might be a bit risky, a session zero, a warning up front is good, but in a session zero to make your guys and maybe talk about the game a bit might be useful.
Mm-hmm.
Won't take a whole night, so that's why I say session zero. Don't spend all night talking about what you're going to do in your game. You're probably going to spoil what's going to come in your game, which I've seen happen before on YouTube videos, and they'll explain the trigger warnings and they'll literally tell you everything that's going to happen, and you go, great, I know exactly what's going to happen over this 2 hour Let's Play. But yeah, session zeros are great for it. I've used them a lot to help people just get used to the world. They, as brutal as it may be in things like Morgborg or Cyborg, they're great ways to break people in. And if you don't, probably won't, you can maybe do a wee bit of an intro tagged on at the end, just short, sweet, snappy intro. But that will give everybody exactly what they need to know for that game going forward. And if they're not interested, then they might not come back. But you can also then recalibrate and see, how was that? Was it too much? Are you okay? That's the sort of vibe I'm going for. Is it okay? You know, and people, I mean, I've never thought about that, but I've done that quite a lot with some games, and actually, yeah, it seems to work. I mean, that's why I don't use some of the tools we'll talk about, but
yeah. And again, you've pretty much said everything I was going to say about it, which is, as players, it lets you get a chance to get an idea of what it's going to be about, get the flavour of it. And if you think it's going to go in a direction that you're not going to be comfortable with, it gives you the chance to then duck out, miss it, avoid it. As a GM, you get to introduce the different themes that are going in. You get a chance at the end of it to talk to people and go, how did you find it? This, that, whatever. Right, okay, fine, I can add that, I can remove that, whatever. But also the kind of the middle point of that, which is, as the GM, as you're introducing whatever you're introducing, again, going back to the vampire stuff, like, rather than going full on stalker mode straight away, that you go, you know, outside in a garden looking at the house or whatever, and blah, you know, you slowly introduce it, and then you can see how people are reacting at the table without actually, you know, physically going, how did you find it? In fact, tell you what, answer this questionnaire before you leave, and then I can sift through the results later on. You know, if you see people looking uncomfortable, if you see people disengaging, that's you getting the heads up before you've even had the opportunity to ask them. It's maybe getting a bit much. You should maybe either dial it back or accept that this isn't the game for them, or, you know, whatever the solution is going to be. And at the end of the day, what I would say is, as a GM, if any of the players are feeling the need to use a safety tool, then something's not right. You know, something's either starting to derail or is in the process of derailing. And if you are switched on enough, if you are empathetic enough to see that happening beforehand, then there's no point in sitting going, well, nobody's told me they've got a problem with it, so I'm going to keep going.
I'm
going to
go deeper.
Oh, it looks like they're getting uncomfortable with this.
Good.
I'll turn it up to 11, because I'm not going to get a chance to later on. You know, if anything like that's going on, again, as players as well, if you see anybody getting uncomfortable, then you've got a GM that's either unaware to, you know, give them a bit of credit, they've maybe not realised that somebody's getting uncomfortable.
It happens. That's why the people have tools, but I've just not seen it happen yet. But anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So you, as a player, it's not like you're sitting going, you know, I am a puppet in this play, I just need to sit and wait for my turn to do my thing, and, you know, that's it. If you see somebody getting uncomfortable, you know, you can talk to them out with what's going on and ask them, are they okay? You know, whatever. Or if you think that they are, then, you know, you say to the GM, look, here, let's just hit pause for a second, whatever. You know, everybody at that table's got a responsibility to each other. You know, it's not a case of they're the GM, they're in charge, and, you know, whatever they say goes, end of. You know, it's not the way it works. If you see somebody getting uncomfortable, then try and stop that. from happening in the first place. But if it gets to a point where, you know, the accident's happened and they're in the process of, again, getting uncomfortable, panicking, if it's some phobia they've got or, you know, whatever, then, you know, try and deal with the situation if you can.
Yeah, I think it's a really good bit of advice. And I think it's, talking about tools, I'll maybe cover a couple. And I don't tend to use them, but it doesn't mean I think there's absolutely no value. I think there's always going to be the value in any sort of tool that can make players comfortable in a game that there's a risk of that. I've talked about Cult Divinity Lost more than once on the podcast, and that's a game that actually encourages pushing the boundaries to a point where some of the actual GM advice, I was like, whoa, that's a wee bit, that's assault, man. That's assault, like, you know, very explicit things, but it's good guidance they give, even though they're encouraging, kind of really pushing out, trying to reach that uncomfortable level. But the advice is good there. But I'd say a couple of the tools then, because I've seen it even at the convention I was at recently. Well, one thing that we've spoke about, I think, before would be like some form of signal. Maybe you just let somebody know. Maybe you just say, like, I'm not comfortable with that. Just some form of a verbal signal. People are going to be okay with it. If they're not, then I wouldn't play. If I was uncomfortable in a game and people disregarded me saying, well, I'm not comfortable with this, and they kept doing it, I'd be out of there. It's not worth my time. But the big one and the big tool you'll see everywhere, because it's like literally everywhere, is the X card. And that's just, for those who don't know, it's literally just a card on the table. I think the game that we, or the convention, they had like one at the table, a big one that you would reach over and tap. But you could have a big X card in the middle. You could all have one each. But the whole point is when you get uncomfortable, and I think it's when you start getting uncomfortable, it's not when you're about to start greeting and run away. So you're kind of like, well, I don't like where this is going. Maybe it's a scene you go down a dark alley and there's some guy, hooded figure, coming down, following you, you know, in a bit, like, you're not sure what the guy's up to. Then you might be raising that X card and be like, I'm not happy about that. And it just indicates to the GM visually, and you don't need to actually say it, that I don't like where this is going. And it's up to the GM then to really just move on past that material. They can summarize the next bit, but whatever it is, they just need to get past that instead of continuing to either go down that path or dwell on the thing that's making the person uncomfortable in the first place. So I think we've already made quite clear, we don't use it a lot. I definitely have never used that in any of my games. I've used it to take the rip in one of the games I did play, which was a lot of fun. And we all used the X card to wind up the GM. But it was a Babes in the Wood game, so very light, super light game. It's all you playing kids and that. It's just a riot. It's an easy, fun game, but I'm just hitting that X card just to wind up the GM. But generally, we've never had to use that because we talk about the games, we know what we're in for, we know each other. And on my side, with the other groups that I'll play or run for, it's the same thing. Like, we might not know all each other that well, but people give each other, you know, notice about what's coming up. And we might not give away the spoilers, but we'll say it's going to be violent. You know, it's an alien game. It's going to feature gore. So, yeah, if you don't like it, you don't need to play it. Or we can just not play it, you know. So we've never had to use the tool. And even in the convention games or the comic book shop games, never had to use an X card. Because I've been super clear and very conscious of people at the table. I just keep it lighter. Even if it's something a bit spooky, I'll kind of keep it up here, very high level, not too much detail, just enough to let them know what's happening without the gory details. I'd probably say that's the biggest safety tool. I don't know if there's any more to add, but I mentioned earlier about almost like the content warning. If you've got a sales pitch, for example, you could have almost the content warning at the bottom. Or I think you mentioned this earlier, just handing it out at the start before a game, if you want, but I verbally say all that anyway, so I don't see the need for that. I'd say that's all the main tools. I don't know if there's any more tools. There's a couple strategies I've got, but not more tools.
Yeah, actual physical tools. A wee quick thing I would say about the X card. So if you're using physical X card.
Roll 20's got virtual ones as well, in case anyone's interested.
Yeah, spotted that.
been there a while, but I don't, the deck system's not very good.
It's only kind of recently I spotted it, but again, because don't use the deck system, that could have been sitting there for ages. But make sure it's accessible. So if it's, you know, the big one in the middle of the table, can everybody reach that?
Yeah,
because simple, the thing is, if you've got somebody that's shy at the table, somebody that's a bit self-conscious or whatever, who has to reach across two or three people to do that, then they going to do it? And to me, ultimately, it depends on personalities and things at the table, but there will be situations where somebody's shyness and timidness is going to outweigh how uncomfortable they are, and they're going to sit and not do that because it's a bigger issue for them to reach across and do that. And as well, if somebody is in the process of getting uncomfortable, do you want to make that experience any worse or happen any longer by having something that's at the other end of the table? No, you don't. So make sure it's accessible. So whether it's a big one in the middle, evenly spaced, or whether it's lots of wee ones, or if somebody can't reach the X card for whatever reason, because it's a wee one and it's getting passed about or whatever, have a hand signal. You know, that becomes the X card. Just
something at you. I used a clown horn in one of my games, but that was to control.
That was for rebuking players rather than like stopping anybody getting uncomfortable.
Stopping at the table, I don't mind it, but sometimes you're trying to speak to people and they can't hear you over two guys arguing about who's got a bigger sword, and I'm going, all right, okay, hold on. But that, you know, anything, that's a joke, but, you know, there's stuff, there is other creative ways that you could effectively have the same thing. Well, it wasn't really a joke because I did use it. Just means, but...
I'm just thinking about some of the other stuff that happened there and just try not laugh at the joke, but anyway.
But yeah, so, I mean, that's really the main tools. I can't actually think of a lot more because I've never, ever, in the years that we've played games and the years that we've ran them, it's never ever been a problem, and I've played a lot of games online with people I don't know, like over Discord or Roll20.
Forgot about that, your international games as well, forgot about them.
Yeah, but I've never used them in all this time and never had anyone complain about it either. As I played someone's game and somebody's complained to me about the GM because I've maybe been too scared to say, or talking to players about the games I've done, and it's never happened. But there's that, I think, particularly with online or doing a lot of comic and bookshop stuff, some of these tools might be super useful. If you're hosting, let's say you go to a comic book shop and you, maybe your staff there, and you actually, maybe, sorry, you are a staff member there and you're running games for people, some of these tools might be quite useful just to have around just in case, and people don't need to use them, but it's definitely worth having them there. And I'd say that's it for all the tools, to be honest.
Yeah, and again, at the end of the day, a tool is only useful if it's the right tool for the right job.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, okay, you could dig a hole with a rocket launcher, right? But it's not exactly practical, is it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so going in the situation that if you've got like a comic shop, or if you've got a venue because you're doing an event, festival, whatever's going on, if you are trying to manage that entire room and like there's tables there and everybody's set up, everybody's playing, and then the table in the back left, the X card going up, 5 minutes later you see it going up, 5 minutes later you see it going up, and it's not the same person that keeps putting it up, it's bouncing about through the table, then at the end of the day you're responsible for everybody there because you've set that up, you're running that. You're the person who's done the event or whatever, it's your business that you're running, whatever. If you keep saying that, then you've got that visual indicator of maybe something's not quite right there, maybe you should go over and check it and, you know, see what's going on. Whereas again, if it's a verbal signal or whatever, you don't have a clue, you don't know what's going on at that point. If you're a, you know, 40 feet away at the other side of the room. So in a situation like that, an X card might be more useful than a verbal signal or whatever. So it's about knowing the tools, knowing what's available, knowing what ideas are out there so that you can go, that seems useful for me.
Yeah, well, we kind of use this in my tool belt. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Simple. Yeah.
Exactly. And again, we don't really use tools. Why don't we really use tools? Is because the DMs, GMs that we've got are all good, and the players that we've got around us are all good. Therefore, we have never had to use it. It's not that we've went, this is a complete waste of time, any of these, there's no point in using that, I'm not going to use it. I know them, you know them, everybody else that we know knows them, but nobody, fortunately and luckily, has ever had to pull them, ever had to use them.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, what I've done as well in games as well, I mean, to maybe not have it drag on too long, is if you ever do see that X card fly up, what do you do? Well, you can just stop and move on. Or what I quite often do in games, especially if I'm getting bored of flaming describing what I'm actually I'm running. Sometimes I get bored of my own flaming descriptions during games. So I like to do what I call the curtain, like closing the curtain on it. So just kind of let it go away. It's almost a misty veil. It's like you only give a wee bit more detail before you fade on to something else. Just keep the thing moving. It helps with pacing as well, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
But ultimately, if you see that card coming up, it's up to you, the GM, to make sure either... or any sort of warning where somebody says, I don't like this. It's ultimately up to you to modify your content. You know, for even if it's just for that group, some players might have loved your horrible, brutal game, but some might prefer to have a bit more investigation and a bit less, like, horrible discoveries. So it's up to you to modify that content just appropriately. You don't need to scrap your game. Just change the level that maybe you go, like, the of detail that you go into. And that's it. It's not rocket science, but the more games you play, and particularly the more games you run, you'll just naturally get better at it. And I would say, just to wrap off, because that's all the tools and all the strategies and all the cool little bits we thought would be worth mentioning, but the big one is, if you're playing an online game, there's always that exit button that you could use that will really make a statement if somebody offends you in a game. So if somebody says something brutal, there's no point in torturing yourself. This is actually up to the players as well. If something is making you really uncomfortable and your decisions, or sorry, your kind of pleas for, like, the pleas for you saying, please don't keep doing that, and they're getting ignored, do not waste your time in a game like that. You can close off that browser window. You can, I don't know if it's in a comic shop, you could, if it's staff doing it, you could be complaining if you wanted about it. I don't know. But it's up to you as well. Like, if you're uncomfortable with a lot of stuff, be honest as well. If you see the trigger warnings and you're unsure, don't say nothing about it as a player.
Yeah.
Like, do not put yourself in that spot, because you're going to make the game bad for you, and it's going to be bad for the GM, especially if it's a guy that's got 8 or 9 people around the table. It's going to be really hard to see you. If you're a player and you're worried about the content, make sure you use the tools given to you. If they're not there, or you're not sure that they're there, ask the GM if they'll be there. And if you're still unsure, talk to the GM about it, even if it's private, because we've said we talk to each other about stuff. That's fine, but let's say a new person was with us, they might not know us as well, might be a bit uncomfortable saying, I'm not sure about this subject.
Yeah.
So just speak to them privately, because the chances are you're going to have somebody that's going to be, one, completely supportive of helping you out and clarifying or whatever. And if you're a player and you find resistance because you said, I don't like that theme, then it's not worth your time. That's what I would say. Because like, the GM puts a lot of prep into games, but you as a player, probably a busy person yourself, don't waste your time with people who are not going to be respectful of any boundaries you might have. So that was the last thing. I never actually thought about that, but because this is all tools. But certainly, you do have autonomy as well over this decision. It's not all GM-centric. I think it's mostly their responsibility.
Yeah.
But like Jamie said earlier, if there's other players at the table seeing people get uncomfortable, let the GM know. But certainly for yourself, before a game even starts, if you get any concerns, bring it up. It might feel a bit picky. It's better to be picky than upset. So that's all I would say.
Yeah, so, 100%. And kind of touching on the you know, shutting the window if you're on a virtual tabletop or whatever.
Turn off the computer.
Yeah.
I don't like this game. Just turn it, yeah, chuck it out the window.
Yeah. Like, you can do all that and, you know, you can close it and then go, oh no, connection issues. Oh dear, how terrible. You know, whatever. Like, you just hit the refresh button two or three times and shut it. You know, whatever. Whatever makes you feel...
Sounds like Jamie's bizarre. Done that before.
No. bizarre to say, but whatever makes you comfortable when you're feeling uncomfortable, if that's what you need to do rather than just shutting the window and just leaving completely, fine, like, go for it, do it. Where that becomes difficult is if you're in person for whatever reason. But again, kind of appealing to the shy people out there, appealing to the timid people, if you are in that position where you're feeling uncomfortable and you feel it's beyond an X card or putting your hand up or talking about it or whatever, still walk. If you feel that way, still walk, because at the end of the day, you know, it's a game. You know, you're supposed to be there, you're supposed to be enjoying yourself. You're not supposed to be feeling uncomfortable, or again, we're talking about it with people being uncomfortable. You know, potentially this, depending on what the theme is, depending on what's actually happening at the table with interpersonal interactions, somebody might be feeling under threat with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if, again, hopefully it's not as serious as that, but, you know, it can be anything from being innocuous to completely 100% serious here. So if you ever get towards that end of it and you're in that position, do it, walk away from it. There's no point in being there. And as well as that, you'll feel better not being there. And again, other people at the table should hopefully be realising what's going on before it even gets to that anyway.
Yeah.
And as well, if you are a player at that point, you see somebody just getting up and leaving, no explanation, whatever, then, you know, at that point, you should be asking, right, okay, what's going on? Has it been too much? Or, you know, should I go and check the person's okay or whatever? But at the end of the day, virtual, real, whatever, you don't need to be there. And again, if you're a bold person, then that's not going to bother you, getting up and walking out or, you know, that sort of thing. But if you are that person that needs that encouragement, then, you know, we encourage you to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I always talk about GMs and, like, make sure your games are fun for players and stuff. I think it's important that GMs also have fun running their games, or there's no point in running them in the first place. Mm-hmm. And I say that as somebody who runs so many games that I get sick of running games sometimes, and I decided to stop running so many games because it was just a lot of games I was playing as well, so it was like a lot of times I felt like I was wasting a lot of time playing games I didn't want to play and stuff. So it's as far as it is, I'm concerned that for you as a player, you might be in a spot where you're playing lots of games, but if there's any that just make you feel like every week, if you're not looking forward to a game, or at least interested in playing, just don't waste your time, because there's so much more you can be doing.
Yeah.
These games are good fun, but they are just games. As hard as that might, as crazy as that might seem, sorry, to some, they are just games, even though it can take over your whole damn life, this hobby. And here we are starting talking about games. But anyway, I think that's it from us. It was good to get a wee bit of player stuff in there. So I think then that's really it. Just want to thank you for listening and or watching on the podcast. And yeah, to hand over to you for the socials.
Yep. So we've got the questions that we asked you earlier on. So you can let us know what you think of the episode. If you've had any situations that you want to share out with what we've asked you, then I'd be interested to know that as well, because it's always good to know, you know, what's happened that's been not so great as well as great, because it gives you that chance to learn from it. So if you want to share anything like that, there's Facebook there, there's Twitter there, there's Instagram, which is a bit of an awkward one to do that on, but it's still there. Direct messaging and all that sort of stuff. There's Discord as well, and X, previously Twitter, and X thing looks like it's permanent now, so
Cool. Suits me. I can never find Twitter now because I always look for the little
the blue. Bird. Aye, Larry. But, Larry's gone.
He's dead. He's gone. He's been buried. He's away to the farm.
Yeah, Canary never made it out of the mine.
Yep. So anyway, thank you anyway, everybody, for listening and or watching then. And again, it's a bye from me.
And me as well.